I want to talk to you this morning about conversation. Not words put together, but the prospect of life. Paul had something to say very pointedly about our conversation in this world. We'll read from verse 19 on through verse 30 of Philippians chapter 1 for the sake of the text and getting at least a portion of the picture that is here before us. Philippians chapter 1, we'll read from verse 19 through verse 30. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, again, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for the time that's allotted to be able to preach the Word of God. I pray that you'll meet the need in hearts and lives today. Folks have come for a blessing, and I pray that you'll meet the need in their lives. Help me to do a good job, not for my glory, but for Christ's sake. That souls might be challenged and encouraged, and Jesus Christ be glorified, for I pray in His name. Amen. Verse 19, Philippians 1, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I should be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ should be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me." And so I present to you then, in this particular reading this morning, that Paul points out that, and if we were to read earlier in this chapter, that his life is characterized by the gospel. He not only has preached the gospel, but he suffered for the gospel. He's demonstrated in his life that which he believed, so that folks could get hold of the truth and honestly appreciate it. He characterized the gospel. He lived that Christ would be magnified in his body. Now, oftentimes we like to remove the spiritual from the physical and set one in a category over here and another, and there is a difference at times. But also, we are here on earth, we're walking in a body. Paul said, your conversation needs to become the gospel, or to be in harmony with that which you voice with your mouth, you express in words. He could say, with all honesty, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now, it's in our text. This man had this kind of confidence that he could say, I have this kind of faith in Christ. I want to magnify him in my life and in my body, and for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He said he would continue for the sake of the Philippians. And again, he admonished them to live life that would become or be fitting, appropriate to the gospel. Now, I want to share some things with you about our conversation. And this word conversation, in the broad sense of the word, not so much understood today, but as it was, especially in the days of the translation of the New Testament, the Authorized or King James Version, it had the whole prospect of life. Now, we think most of the time in terms of immediate conversation as we talk one with another. Paul said to Timothy, remember, be an example of the believer in word, and then he said in conversation. And what he was saying, what you speak needs to be as would become the gospel and certainly be clear. But then also your life needs to depict the gospel. And Paul said to Timothy, you be an example of the believer in conversation in your life. Again, that would be fitting, be befitting to the gospel and would not betray the gospel, nor malign, nor demean the gospel, but would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And he speaks here in our text of literally in his body wanting to be able to glorify the Lord. And so there are some things that we need to know in the whole prospect of life today with regard to what Paul had to say here in our text. We need to understand, first of all, that our conversation is in the world, but it is not of the world. In the Gospel of John chapter 17, you remember these verses and you read them later. For the sake of time, we'll not turn and read these passages this morning. But in John chapter 17, verses 6 through 19, there in that intercessory prayer of our Lord, he will turn and begin to pray for his immediate disciples. And he would pray to the Father and say, as long as I am in the world, I have kept them that you've given me. And he said, I pray that you will keep them from the harm or from the things that will come into their lives and the trials that will be upon them. He points out in that prayer that he does not ask the Father to take them out of the world, but that he would keep them as they are in the world. And that's where we are today. We need to understand that God did save us, and he saves us to one day take us home unto himself, but at the immediate present, that's not the case. I don't know how many folks I've known in life that they'd like to go home to be with the Lord in the midst of some great trial in their lives. And I can understand that, and I can appreciate that, but that's not the case. We're here on planet Earth today as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord saved you, he did not immediately desire to take you home. But he's praying for us because he prayed for them and he prayed for those that would follow after that the Father would keep us in the world. So our conversation is here for the time being. Now our citizenship is in heaven. We have dual citizenship. We're here for a time. We're citizens by and large. Most of us, United States of America, a few other countries might be represented in our midst this morning. But we have a citizenship here. But if we're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, our citizenship really is in heaven. That's where we're going to go, and that's the ultimate or the final and the best look at citizenship this morning, but we have to look at it in the light of where we are right now in relation to the gospel and what we're responsible for. Because God did not choose to save us and take us out of this world immediately. These that our Lord Jesus Christ prays for, they're given him out of the world. In other words, thank God today, every one of us that are saved understand what that means. That we were in the world, we were of the world, and God saved us and brought us out of that into a living relationship with his Son. And thank God for salvation this morning that set us free from that which we were prior to this. The Apostle Paul said one place, the Apostle Peter rather said in a place, we've all had our conversation in the world in time past. And that time suffices. That's all we needed. We don't need any more of that. Because we've been saved out of the world in that sense. From that which we were before, but we've not been taken out of this world in our sense of responsibility and our life before God. The Lord said they're in the world and said they're going to, for a time, remain in the world. And so settle that as a fact in your mind that you're here for a time, whatever it is. God's given you some allotted days. We only can rest in faith and believe that when it's run its course, that he'll take us home. But until that time, we're here. And we want to be living, as we ought to, being a citizen of heaven, but here on earth. And the Lord said, not only that, but I'm going to send them out into the world. So again, I come back to this premise. Our conversation is in the world because we've been sent to the world. I don't want to depart from the main theme this morning, but I do want to remind you that there's a lost world out here that has not had the privilege yet that you have had to be saved by God's grace. There are some people in this world today that have not been privileged to hear the gospel as you have heard it today. I have seen some of these places, and it's hard to imagine from our abundantly blessed society where the Word of God is preached, but there are people in this world that have not been privileged to hear a clear presentation of the gospel today. But the Lord said, I'm going to send these out into the world today. So our conversation is in the world. We'll need to learn how to live while we're here. That's a point I want us to see and a point I want to make to you. The second thing I want us to see about our conversation is that our conversation is to be one of faith. Now I want to turn to this passage and take time to read it. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13, we'll begin reading with verse 7 and read on through verse 13. Book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 7 through 17. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Considering the end of your conversation or their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and with not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief. For that is unprofitable to you, or for you, this morning. And I present to you that our conversation, then, is to be one of faith. We are not to covet this world, according to the passage that we've read. We're not to hold on to its goods, nor to be drawn in by its inhabitants. We're not to covet those things that are in this world. We are to be in this world, but we're to live by faith. For we see that there is a distinction here between those who would serve the tabernacle and those who would serve the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a matter of reproach that is to be borne with Jesus Christ outside the camp. So the first thing about our conversation is, as we live by faith, is that we are to settle this issue of what's going to govern our lives. You're told by the Lord Himself, you cannot serve God and mammon. And that simply means that there's a line drawn. You can't serve this world and serve God. If you serve God, you're not going to be able to serve this world. And I want you to know that if you're serving God today, you know when you step over the line. The precious Holy Spirit of God will immediately make known to you that you're out of company and you're not in harmony with God, and He'll cause you to understand that you need to return to that life of faith. But as we think about our faith, we are, first of all, to walk with the abiding Christ. We are to walk with the abiding Christ. I want you to know that God promised something through our Lord Jesus Christ just prior to our Lord leaving this earth, that He would give us a comforter that would not only walk with us, but live in us. And we would have a comfort that is even, I suppose, this morning beyond expression in the precious person of the Holy Spirit. But we are to walk with the abiding Christ this morning. We then are to trust the unchanging Christ. In a changing world, in changing circumstances, when everything seems to be moving and shaking and so uncertain, I want you to know that there is one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord Jesus Christ, in tremendous love, gave Himself. The Father, in love, gave His Son willingly to be a Savior. The Bible said of Jesus Christ, He's always the same. Now, in your own experience and in your own life, circumstances can and will change. If you don't believe that, you discuss it with those early disciples who were out in that sea, in that ship one day. And that storm came roaring down upon them as they were out in the midst of the sea. And their safety was immediately jeopardized, for the Bible said that they were in great jeopardy. Their confidence was shattered. They're fearful, and they wake up the Lord and say, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And that same Lord stood and stilled the storm, stopped the raging waves and the boisterous wind. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, you can trust. If He could still a storm yesterday, He can still still a storm today. And He'll be able to do so tomorrow. And I say that for the sake of us who are getting along the trail, the ways. And as you get older, there is less confidence. And some things become a burden. If you don't believe that, read the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. When it talks about that time in our life when the grasshopper becomes a burden. The windows are darkened. The grinders cease because they're few. That's the description of old age. And there's a measure of uncertainty. But I encourage you this morning to know this, that you can still trust the unchangeable Christ all the way through life. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Your life, your conversation to be a life of faith, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to identify with Him in this world. That's what the writer of Hebrews said. Let's go outside the camp, out there where He suffered. Identify with Him. What are we to tell folks when they ask us about our faith? We say we have identified with the crucified Christ. The one that they maligned and mocked, wrongly judged and condemned, and nailed to a cross. That's the Christ we're going to trust. The one that they took down from the grave, and death couldn't hold Him because He arose again. That's to be the confession of our mouth. We are to identify with Him in this world, and it will bring a measure of reproach. But that's to be our conversation, to be a conversation of faith. The Bible teaches why. Because here we don't have any continuing city. We've got a place to live. We've got a home in heaven. In other words, we don't have a place that we want to settle down and can settle down here and say this is permanent. Truth is, we've got two of our elderly today. They're standing very close to death. I don't rejoice in that fact. I love both of them. They've been both a blessing in my life. And I'll miss them when they're gone. But I also understand that here we don't have a place to settle down and say this is home. We're going to live by faith. Because we do have a city, we seek one to come. There's going to be a place one day that we'll settle down. We can call it home and say, this is where I'm going to be. Heaven itself. Our conversation is to be one of faith. Our conversation requires practical sanctification. Now, for the sake of time, and I know it's almost gone, and we're dealing about half of the message thus far. I'll try to hurry. But our conversation does require practical sanctification. I'm not talking about the act of God in sanctification, where He sets us apart unto Himself. That's His part. That's His work. But I'm talking about a real practical sanctification, where there's a separation in our lives. You can read of it in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 20, and read on through chapter 5 and verse 12. And you'll find out that in that particular passage, there are some things that you're to do. And I'll mention four of them. You're to put off an old man. That's practical sanctification. change your course of life and your conduct. It behooves us to walk in a different path than we walked before. We walked, the Bible said, according to the course of this world in times past. That's where we were. Naturally, by the state of being a sinner. Born a sinner and consequently living as a sinner. That was our course according to the course of this world. But thank God today, being saved by the grace of God, we can put off that old man. We can put on the new man. Paul said to the Ephesians, you're to be followers of God. Practical sanctification. Walking in the light of Christ. Four things. Put off the old man, put on the new man, follow God, and walk in the light of Christ. And you'll be in the greatest light and revelation you've ever been in your life when you walk with Jesus Christ. So our conversation requires practical sanctification. Our conversation calls for sacrifice. I'll read it for you. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now you notice the appeal is on the basis of the mercy of God. How good has God been to you? How merciful has He been? Some of us realize how merciful He really is. I mean, we understand that we deserve death, but He's given us life. We ought to be walking in darkness, but thank God we're walking in light. We that were dead are now alive. We have been separated from that which we were before and now live in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God's merciful this morning. I appeal to you to make the sacrifice that Paul mentions here as he writes to the Romans. Present your body a living sacrifice. Present our bodies a living sacrifice. And it's to be holy and acceptable unto God. It's a reasonable thing. Let your mind be renewed and find the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Learn that which is God's will for your life and abide in it. But our conversation calls for a measure of sacrifice. Not that we might be saved. Not for our atonement. That was made on the cross of Calvary. I always feel like I need to make that distinction. Sometimes when we talk about our course of life and practical application of life, sometimes folks seem to misunderstand and think that we're talking about acquiring our own salvation through an effort of the flesh and works. Not so. Atonement was made through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That settled that eternally. But I want you to know that we're called upon to present ourselves in a living fashion that Jesus Christ might be seen in us. And that calls for a measure of sacrifice. A renewed mind. Finding the will of God and abiding in it. Final point this morning. We must consider the end of our conversation. I refer you back to the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Remember that he said there, talking about following those that are over us and following their faith. And he said, consider the end of their conversation. Well, that's not too far removed from Hebrews chapter 11. Where we see that there was a great host of folks that are named that lived their life by faith. And we see the end of their conversation. Oh, they died in faith. They didn't see everything that you and I are privileged to see. That's what we're told in that text. They all died in faith, but they didn't get to see what we have beheld and what we look back to. Do you realize that Isaiah, the one that likely was sawn asunder, didn't get to see in hindsight as we do from the Word of God, our Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world? He predicted, He prophesied of it, but He didn't see it. We look back with a clear presentation in this book of the person Jesus Christ. We think about Enoch, who walked with God. He was not, God took him. But that man didn't see and behold things that we're seeing today. He realized as Christians today that we're seeing the consummation of an age and a program. I want you to know that God is working His plan out so that there's going to come that day when Jesus Christ will come in splendid glory. They'll know who He is. Because if the lightning shines from the east unto the west, even so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We're living in that very era. And that real possibility today of the soon appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so
We need to consider the end of conversation. And we're told, consider the end of those folks' lives. They all died in faith. That means that they were saved. We think about Abraham. We talk about Sarah. We talk about Moses. These folks lived their lives, and their lives were productive and profitable because they lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. You realize today that one day folks will look back on the end of our conversation. If the Lord tarries His coming long enough, every one of us will pillow our head in death as far as this body is concerned. And our conversation on the planet Earth will be ended. And we need to consider that end today in light of now and determine how we ought to live. Now, for life to be meaningful, there must be goals. What is our goal to be? To please Christ. To please Christ. Because we will abide forever with Christ. And wouldn't it be a blessing to be able to pillow our head in death, or even at His appearing, to stand approved before Him? Just a quick conclusion. We've been given life in Christ. Secondly, we will live in some fashion our allotted days. That's a fact. Let us live as it becomes the gospel of Christ. Let your conversation, Paul said, be as becoming the gospel of Christ. You might be here and you're saying, "Preacher, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. I've never trusted Christ, don't know anything about being a believer." I'd have to say to you, I realize this message has not reached just constantly to you today, but there is hope for your soul in Jesus Christ, for He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." But on the other hand, He promised He'd save every soul that would come to Him by faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's hope for you today. But as believers, consider the end of your life. What do you want to look back on? A life of faithfulness, or a life that would bear severe consequences and suffer loss? Consider today. We have a conversation. We're going to live our allotted days. How do we want to end our days? How do we want to look back on it? Satisfaction or dissatisfaction? I would say the choice is before you this morning.